And you have 2 minutes. Melinda will hold up the card at 30 seconds. And this time we will start with Stephen Bello on the question. All right? The question is, we know that all of you want to support an active business economy and jobs within Long Beach. What specific policies and actions would you take to benefit the residents of Belmont Shore?
A lot of people talk about the residential aspect of Belmont Shore and the business aspect of Belmont Shore as two that need to be balanced. I was told that if you walk into a courthouse, you will see the scales of justice there, and that's how it should be. However, in my opinion, that's not how I feel it should be. I feel that there needs to be a totem pole, there needs to be set priorities in regards to what is on top and what falls below it. The residents of Belmont Shore have to be the top priority, and the businesses have to serve the residents, in my opinion. I can't see that if there's going to be a perfect balance in that regard. It actually has to be, in some ways, sided towards the residential aspect. The businesses would, the residents would survive without the businesses. We could always find businesses somewhere else. I'm not saying that I want to get rid of them. In fact, I'm extremely pro-business. But the fact of the matter is quality of life has to be number one. It's got to be on the top of the scale. And then everything is going to fall below that. As far as how I would want to maybe make improvements on the residential aspect of Belmont Shore, I'd like to see some quieter streets. I'd like to see a balance, I'd like to see more of a disciplinary action in regards to the problems that we are having with cars on the street. I'd like to see a little bit more police exposure if possible. I have some ideas for raising money in the city budget in an effort to get more police officers actively out on patrol. And it's very, very important that we also look at the homeless situation that's going on in Belmont Shore. There's a lot of things that have been happening that have really transpired over the last few decades. I have been a Belmont Shore visitor before I moved here, and so I've seen the transformation, the evolution myself. So I have an understanding of what really, really means to them. But like I said, we start on top with the residents, hear what they have to say, and then work our way down from there. Thank you.
Okay, Susie, that question again. We know that you all want to support an active business economy and jobs in Long Beach. What specific policies and actions would you take to benefit the residents of Long Beach?
Thank you, Jerry. I have to say, this is my first exposure to politics, and when it comes to Belmont Shore, what I've learned, and what I've learned very quickly, is you quickly, as a candidate, get classified into either your pro-community or your pro-business. And frankly, that is offensive to me. Because just because you're pro-neighborhood and just because you're pro-community does not mean you're anti-business. And that is a problem that I think is causing a bigger gap between residents and businesses in Belmont Shore. I do believe that the decisions that the business community makes impact the lives of the residents of this community. And therefore, the residents of this community have to be given an opportunity to engage in public input, have an opportunity to be meaningfully heard about the solutions that impact their lives and their community. And what I mean by that, to be meaningfully heard, is that means that someone listens to you and actually looks into the options that you propose, actually considers whether or not what you're saying is viable, and for many, many times in situations that doesn't happen. I think that the Belmont Shore community and the city in general, the third district in general, needs a candidate who is able to bridge the gap between residents and businesses, is able to build the trust with people, to bring them to the table, and have them be heard in a meaningful way with an equal voice at the table. I think that is very important. It's something that's lacking. And we've seen the ill effects of that just in recent times, when people get little or no notice about something huge that's going to impact their lives. I don't think that's right. And I think speaking out in favor of that doesn't make you anti-business. Every single person here knows and understands, we're all educated enough to understand that without a thriving business community, our community will not succeed, our community will not prosper. But how do we work together, and is there an opportunity for harmony? Absolutely. It takes the right personality to come to the table, and it takes people giving everyone an opportunity and access to be heard.
And Jack, once again.
Well, one of the things that I intend to do is maintain normal, regular office hours, not only during the afternoons, but also at least twice a week in the evenings, so all the constituents can come and talk to me about problems and situations that they have. Residents are no question they're the most important part of the puzzle for Belmont Shores. In 1958, when George Duke Majan was asked, what are your biggest problems in the third? Parking in the bars. Now, 7 years later, nothing's changed. We need to figure out a way to change that. And one of the big things to me is communication. You know, the communication, there's a certain amount of the business owners that want to communicate better with the residents and doing a better job. Their perception is they're doing a better job than they were doing 4 years ago. I'm not sure we all agree with that, but as your councilman, I will do everything possible to move us in that direction. I will hold meetings. If somebody has a particular problem where they don't want to, you know, approach one of the restaurants or one of the retailers, I'll be the one that will approach them. You know, there's ongoing situations. We'd like to solve them all, hypothetically, but it's not going to happen. It's a process. Open transparency is an overused word. Somebody is on the street on a daily basis and is holding meetings with all of the residents and also the business owners is, I think, the way to get so we can all get together on many things. I don't know if we'll ever get together on everything, but we're not trying hard enough.
Thank you. Okay, so for the second question, we'll start with you, Susie. How would you address the concerns of residents about their quality of life and property values due to the disturbances from bars and restaurant patrons late at night?
Well, I believe that all of the residents have the right to use and enjoy their property as homeowners, as people who live in the community. I think that it's very important that we hold the bar owners and the businesses on Sutton Street accountable to be good corporate residents of our community. Generally speaking, I think that most try to do a good job about that. And I think that over the years, there have been some efforts that have been, some ideas that have been pursued and some things, methods that have been employed that allow them to work better with the residents. And I do believe that the business association should be responsible for policing each other so that when there is a bad actor, that there is pressure on that person to stop doing what they're doing so that it doesn't impact the rest of the community and that doesn't create a culture where people are getting away with basically infringing on other people's ability to use and enjoy their property. I think as a resident, you should know that as your council person, I would listen very seriously to concerns that you have about your right to use and enjoy your property being violated or you not being able to enjoy a peaceful life where you feel safe. That's very important. That's the utmost importance. And I think that we need to hold the businesses accountable for their end of the bargain. Whether that means additional enforcement, one of the things we've lost in on Second Street is our walking patrols. Everybody that I talked to says they wish we had those walking patrol officers back on 2nd Street. That has to be a priority for the 3rd District because that will allow us to monitor what's happening so that we can actually enforce the violation, which we need to be prepared to do. As a council person, I think giving you access to me and the city in terms of how we can enforce the violations and allow you to live your life in your home free of those harassments.
Okay, Jack, I'll repeat the question. You got it? Okay.
What we need to do, first of all, saying that the bars cause property values to go down, I'm not sure that that's true in actuality. Since we've always had the bars were there when we bought the houses. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's happening. There is an instance going on right now where one of the larger problems on 2nd Street is not a bar, it's not a retail operation, but it is a food. It's a restaurant, happens to be Jack in the Box. They're having problems after hours there, no question about it, with certain people that have come out of the bars. But there are situations that are ongoing there that need to be somehow policed, and I use the word policed, because the owner of that Jack in the Box is not a member of the Belmont Shore Business Association, and he's obviously not a member of the Belmont Shore Residents Association. Those kind of activities need everyone to get behind, because the business operators want to see improvement, want to see something done, and as do the residents too. And that's what I go back to. We need to be working together instead of working apart. And if this has been tried before, I'm not sure if it has been tried as hard as it can be. And with, again, with my plans of having normal office hours, okay, in the evening, I will be able to do more than has been done in the past. Thank you.
Stephen, would you like me to repeat it?
Sure, why not?
Sure. How would you address the concerns of residents about their quality of life and property values due to disturbances from bar and restaurant patrons late at night?
Okay. So, as far as property values are concerned, I've been in the real estate business for many, many years, and I've got to tell you that lack of quality of life affects property values. Crime affects property values. Lack of parking. Anything that is going to be a disturbance to a resident is going to affect property values. There's just no getting around that. And what I would like to say is that I'm going to guess that probably 95% of the businesses are second tier or wonderful businesses. They're doing the best that they can. They're trying to survive as a business in an economy that's still on its way up, that hasn't really healed from a recession. And they're doing well. But then there are those places, some bars and restaurants, that may not be behaving themselves. What I'd like to see is more pressure put on some of these bars and restaurants that are going to be open after 11 p.m. We should probably try to, as Susie said, I'm not stealing this one. I'm in favor of walking patrol officers, specifically on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and I'd also like to see more cameras put in, which has already been on the table, and I understand that we're moving forward with that. I do have some ideas in regards to how to raise money for that. I don't have enough time in 3 minutes to do it, but I have spoken about it in other forums, so it has been made public already. The other issue is what we talked about is parking, and a lot of the businesses on Second Street have been causing the parking problems that we've got, and the Parking Commission has implemented a bus pass program. It's only one step. The bus pass program has not been fully utilized as it should be, but that's just one option that we've got. There's other options that we have. Some people haven't really talked about ABS, a new power plant that's going to be mandatorily distributing $130 million to the city of Long Beach for low emissions transport, and that's something maybe we can use in an effort to transport these employees back and forth from where they need to go. Thank you.
All very good. Okay, and the last question, we'll start with you, Jack. Do you have any specific ideas on how to improve the parking difficulties in residential streets and commercial streets within Belmont Shore? And here's the kicker. As a council member, would you have voted to demolish the home at 205 Laverne for a parking?
Things that I want to see done to improve the parking situation here, I want to meet with the city engineer. I think there are opportunities to repaint, restripe, if you will. There's many areas where there's red zones that could be shortened to get us more parking spaces. We have parking down on Ocean Boulevard at the beach. There's been ideas, a trolley back and forth that's been shot down. I think it has to be revisited. I am not in favor of parking structures or anything like that. That's on the table. It's an ongoing situation. I'd like to see the planning department come through and see how many houses have converted their garages to sports rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people have two or three cars and have one parking, not space, but one garage. You know, we need better policing on the little things. You know, it's not something we'd send an officer to. But I know I have a neighbor, and I saw the construction going on, and he was converting a two-car garage to a sports room. I'm almost positive he did not get a permit. Okay, but he wasn't doing it himself. He had a contractor doing it. And to see something like that taking place is just not right. And going back to the situation at 205 Laverne, I've gathered a lot of information. I've gotten a multitude of emails. They started out being totally opposed, and now the people that are not opposed is starting to rise. It's still about a 60-40. You know, the property is not in escrow. Okay. Down, Terry?
15.
Was that it?
How would you vote?
How would you vote?
At this point in time, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me finish.
Okay.
Gathering the information, at this point, 60% of the people are opposed. If 60% of the people continue to be opposed, I would go with the majority.
Go get my email.
Yeah, obviously, I'd go with the majority.
What's right or what's wrong?
Are we done? Okay. Thank you. And Stephen, the question was, do you have any specific ideas on how to improve the parking difficulties on the residential and business streets within Belmont Shore? And as a council member, would you have voted to demolish the home at 205 Laverne for a parking lot?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go in reverse on this one. I want to start off with 205 Laverne because it's going to lead into my parking. So number one, am I in favor of taking residential property and turning it into a parking lot? It depends. It depends on the situation. I'm not 100% opposed to it. If we were to look on every alley that has an adjacent parking lot, we all know that back in history, at one time or another, those were all residential lots. So let's start off with that. Number one, anytime that I'm representing a client and or purchasing an investment for myself, I always look at the pros and cons. I put them on paper and I analyze them to determine whether or not I want to move forward with the project, whether or not I thought I was in favor of the project in the beginning or not. Number one, I look at how many homeowners are opposed to the project. A lot. In fact, it's my understanding there's going to be a petition in an effort to stop the purchase of the home. So that's strike one to me. Strike two is we're looking at a net of 7 parking spaces. In my eyes, it's 7. I know someone says it's 10, someone says it's 8, but the fact of the matter is there's a one-car garage on the property now. We're going to get 8 parking spaces when we're finished. 8 minus 1 is 7. That's just the way I look at it. It's not a whole lot of parking spaces, considering we need about 350 spaces in an effort to really fix what's going on over here. The third thing is that we're going to be paying about $100,000 per space for this property. To me, that's a lot of money. In the commercial field, you can build a parking structure between $35,000 and $50,000 per space, and that would get us a lot of spaces. Fourth thing is that the people who are exiting the parking lot have to go down Laverne, not exit on the one way. It's a one way going through the neighborhood, not a one way going the other direction. So to me, that's 4 strikes. I say no because of that. That's enough for me to say move on to the next investment because this one just isn't a good one in my eyes. The other thing I'd like to do is talk another time.
Adherence to the rules.
I'm good, Terry. You don't have to repeat.
Okay, go ahead. You still get 2 minutes.
I would not vote in favor of this project. I really believe that before the city tears down a house to build a parking lot with 8 spots, which is really a negligible solution to a long-term problem that we have with Belmont Shore, the city should explore and foreclose every other option. I have attended meetings, and I don't believe believe, you know, I think our parking commissions, they're probably trying to do their best, and I don't know, but when I'm talking to people in the community, people say, we propose this, or we propose that, or we propose this, and when I've talked to city staff about it, the answer has been, that doesn't seem like it would be likely. We likely would get turned down for that. That doesn't seem like it's viable. But why don't we try something before we say it's unlikely and move on to tearing down a house? I would rather try something and have someone say, no, we're not going to allow you to do this, before tearing down a house. Tearing down a house is a very invasive action in a community. I mean, we can talk about what's happened in the past and what those parking lots used to be in the past, but when you're taking an existing house, a home where someone lives and breathes and it's next to someone else's house, and you're thinking about tearing it down for 8 additional spots, that's a very invasive action. And you shouldn't do it until you have explored every other option and found them to not be viable, not be workable. There are other solutions that we haven't looked into as a city, that we haven't meaningfully looked into. One of the solutions that has been talked about is the shuttle, and we've never applied for permission to be able to do that, and we should be doing that. But I want to say, you know, I just want to go back real quick to the question about bars and restaurants. You know, I think it's really, really important when we're talking about the traffic on these streets. You know, one of the candidates has a independent expenditure set up for him by 3 of the bars and restaurants on 2nd Street, and they are funding much of his campaign. And to me, it's not all the candidates were given access for that sponsorship or that endorsement. And that's relevant. Thank you.
All very good. Thank you very much. We will then start with Susie for your 1 minute conclusion here.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you. I have a brochure there. It has my webpage. You can email me if you have any further questions tonight. I am running because I believe that we need something that is fresh and new and energy that in this district and in this city that we haven't had. We've had Gary DeLong has done good work for us as a community. He's done a lot of great projects and infrastructure. But moving forward, I think we need a candidate who brings to the table a new energy and a new vision. I am a person who has children who are growing up in this community. I see the future of this community in their eyes. And I have a heart and a passion for this community. I'm not tied to any special interests. Much like all the other candidates here, I've participated in all the same interviews that we were all able to participate in for endorsements. And I'm happy to have gotten the endorsement of police, fire, chamber of commerce, BizFed, Pacific West Realtors Association, the Teachers Association of Long Beach, John Meyer, who's on our school board, Jan Hall, Renee Simon, former council members, and I've participated for the endorsement alongside all of the candidates here, and I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
And we'll go to Stephen and let Jack finalize.
Okay. I have been involved in the community here for over 2 decades, and to me, this is not a political position as much as it is an extension of my community service. And that is all it is to me. I'm not looking for higher office outside of the city of Long Beach. I have a passion for the 3rd District. I have a love for our city, and this is where I'm going to stay for good. And I have to say that I don't have any endorsements from any large organizations, or PACs for that matter. It's just individual people. I've been running a grassroots campaign, and it seems to be going very, very well. I don't want to have an obligation to anyone or any group because of any large contributions that they've made to me. So that's all. Thank you very much. If you have any need more information, I have my marketing information over there and my business card with my cell phone number on it if anyone wants to call me directly. Thank you.
And Jeff.
Going forward, as many of you have read in the paper last week, we're starting to work on the budget for 2015. We need to keep our budget flat because it looks like our income is not going to increase for 2015 or 2016 and 2017. We have pension problems in this city. Many of the unions that have endorsed some of the candidates are going to be coming to the table to negotiate. They're going to want more from the populace. They're going to want increased pensions. They're going to want increased people. Again, there are unions. That's what they do. The people that are the line people that are doing the job don't necessarily agree completely with their unions. So it's going to be very important that the councilmen from the 3rd District and then the other 9 councilmen are fiscally responsible, know how to negotiate contracts, because the next 3 years, that is going to be the name of the game.
Thank you.